Okay, we will continue with the Gemara Vamos. We're on Lamed Tes Amud Beis. We're about halfway through the thin lines. We're up to the first word on the line, Tanan Hasam. Tanan Hasam, we learned in the Mishnah, Mitzvah Zibim Kodemes Li Mitzvah Chalitza. We've been talking about the older son, the younger son. One wants to do Chalitza, one wants to do Yibim. The outcome of that discussion from last week is that Yibum is seemingly preferable to Chalitza. And there's a Mishnah that indicates that, but it also says as follows, Rishona Shayum is Kavni L'Shem Mitzvah. Earlier times, when people would engage in Yibum L'Shem Mitzvah for the sake of the Mitzvah of Yibum, but Achshav, now, that's when Mitzvah Yibum Kodemes Mitzvah Chalitza. That's when the Mitzvah of Yibum took preference. But Achshav, Shem is Kavni L'Shem Mitzvah, nowadays, when the mitzvah of Yibum is not necessarily first and foremost in people's minds, Amru, the rabbi said, mitzvah chalitza, kodemus mitzvah Yibum, better to do chalitza than Yibum. Rav said, ain kofin. Even though chalitza may be more, maybe the preference, because the kavana is not correct, and remember, there's a little reloctance with Yibum because it's Eishes Ach, unless it's a mitzvah of Yibum. So maybe that's why we require an extra level of Kavanah. Still, Rav says we don't force Chalitza, and Yibum, you could also do Yibum even in the latter times. Gazel Kumai Derav Amar Lehu, when a potential Yavam and Yavama would come before Rav, he would say, Yibayis Chalotz. If you want, you could do Chalitza, Yibayis Yabim. If you want, you could do Yibam. Bididach, Tal Rachmana. Right? It's up to us. It's up to you which one you want to do to resolve the Zika. Vimlo Yachbotze, because as the Pasuk says, Bididach, Tal Rachmana, Vimlo Yachbotze Ish. If the man does not want to, then he Yibam, then he does Chalitza. Ha'im Chafetz, Yibay Chalitza, Yibay Yibam. If he wants to, he could choose Yibam or Chalitza. So either one's an option. Even if we say that we're concerned about the Kavana with Yibam, still Yibam's an option. Perhaps Chalitza is more preferable. Va'af Rav Yehuda Samar. Rav Yehuda holds similarly. Ein Kofin. We don't force Chalitza. We'd ask in Rav Yehuda Begita the Chalitza. And this is indicated by the language of the writ of Chalitza that was part of the evidence that was of the record of Chalitza taking place. There was a record, there was a document that said as follows, part of which said as follows, Eich plonis pas ploni, how this woman came, right, who's a widow, Akrivis yas ploni yavama kadama libedina, she approached her brother-in-law in our Beis Din, v'ishtamodanu da'achuy d'misna me'avanehu, and it was demonstrated that this man is a paternal brother of the deceased. Relay, we say to the yavam, it's obviously yavim yavim. If you want to do yibum. If you don't want to do yibum, itli the raglech tivina. So now you're going to do the chalitza ceremony. What's the chalitza ceremony? We get a small snapshot of what that ceremony is. Extend your right foot. Vitla la ragla dimina, and he did. He extended his right foot. Vishras same me'al ragloi, and the Yavama removed his shoe from his right foot. Viarakt ban poi ruka demischazi lebedina al ara. And then the other piece of the ceremony after taking off the right shoe is that the Yavama spits in a way that the Beis Din can see it. And Rav Chiya Bar Avia would add to the end of that chalitza proof, writ of chalitza. And the script was what kacha yaseh le'ish, right? Asher lo yivne bayis, right? There's a whole script in when it comes to the mitzvah of yibum and chalitza. This is what happens to a man who doesn't want to build from his deceased brother's legacy. So we see that the point of bringing it down, although it's interesting to hear about Chalitza in general, and there's a YouTube video of a chalitza. It's you know, it's a emotionally fraught experience. It entails the death of a brother without children, but nonetheless, it seems that there was an agreement at one point of Yavam and Yavama to be videotaped during the ceremony, and it's interesting. I think you can find it on YouTube. So we want to look at one other thing from that writ of Yibum, Ishtimodinu. We learned it was verified that this man is the paternal brother of the deceased. So how do we determine that? This is determined a dispute between Rav Acha and Rav Yehuda. Chad Amar be'edim. One said, no, you need two witnesses that this Yavam is in fact a paternal brother of the deceased. You don't need witnesses, you just need the knowledge. And even a relative can testify to it, even a woman who's technically excluded from formal testimony, but her veracity is not in doubt. So the question is, do you need edut or do you just need knowledge? If you need knowledge, then lots of people who are technically excluded from edut, like relatives, like women, would be permitted. If you need edut, then it's a smaller number of people that are eligible. No, so it's not testimony. It's like a birth certificate, but they didn't have birth certificates. So someone can say, yeah, this is his brother. That suffices. We're going to look back, and the Gemara continues to look back at the statement from before. Now we're in the wide lines at the two dots, four lines after it gets wide. Rishona, Shayim Iskavin, Shayim Mitzvah. Originally, when they had the intent to do Yibum for the Mitzvah of Yibum, it says Yibum, Kodama Mitzvah Chalitza. They would encourage Yibum. Nowadays, that the intent is not so pure. Mitzvah Chalitza, Kodama Mitzvah Yibum. So Amarami Marchama, Amar Yitzchak, Rami Marchama, and Yitzchak, Chazul Amar Mitzvah Yibum, Kodama Mitzvah Chalitza. Later on, the rabbis did go back again and say that Yibum is preferable to Chalitza. So it was a back and forth. It was first Yibum, then Chalitza, and then according to this opinion, Yibum once again was viewed as the preferable mode. Earlier, Rav Nachum Bar Yitzchak, Ikashur Dare. So Rav Nachum Bar Yitzchak says, why would they go back and make Yibum the more preferred option? It seems that their kavana was better in the later generations. We normally assume Hitkatnu Adoro, that the level of intention and piety is diminished over time, right? That the earlier generations were more pious. So you're going to say that there was a change, they became more pious, and therefore Yibum was more accepted. So Rami Bar Chama says no. Mekara Savri Lak Abba Shaul. Originally they held like Abba Shaul. Ultimately, they held like Rabban. Tanya, Abba Shaul says, Hakone says, Yivim to Hashem Noi. If a person has ulterior motives for doing Yibum with his sister-in-law, because she's beautiful, Shum Ishus, he wants to be married to her, it's not about Yibum, Shum Davar Acher, for any other reason except for the mitzvah of Yibum, Kil Poge Be'erva. Abba Shaul entertains the possibility that if you don't have the pure intentions of Yibum, then this relationship is an erva of Eishes Ach. Abba Shaul goes on to say that if there's a child that is produced from this relationship, it's karov to being a mamzer. He didn't say it's a mamzer, but it's not good, right? It's not good. Chacham said no. The Torah says yavamo yavo aleha, that Yibum is done mikol makom, no matter what, no matter what the intentions are. So, Mantan Allah the Tana Rabbanan. Who is the Tana that taught the following brisa? Right. So we have this machlokas Abba Shaul and Chachamim. Yavama Yavam Aleh Mitzvah. Right. That the pasuk says that a Yavam does Yibum and has relations with the Yavama. that is a mitzvah. Originally, before this widow ever married the deceased, the woman was permitted to anyone, including the brother of the deceased. Right? Nesur Chazer V'Hutra. Then she became prohibited to the Yavam because she married the Yavam's brother. And then when the Yavam's brother dies without children, this woman is now, the widow is now permitted once again. Right? Yachol Tachzor L'Heter HaRishon. You might have thought that she becomes completely permissible after the marriage to the deceased, just as she was before the marriage to the deceased. Tamal Omer Yavam Yavo Aleha Mitzvah. Right? So the Pasuk Yavam Yavo Aleha tells us that only for the purposes of the mitzvah is he permitted to engage in relations with the Yavama. So Montana, who is this? Who is this? That's the Brisa, and we want to know who is the author. Who can we attribute that Brisa to? So Rav Yitzchak Bar Avdimi. Rav Yitzchak Bar Avdimi explains, Abba Shaul. So Abba Shaul, Vachi Kamar, this is how you understand it, right? Abba Shaul is the one who says you need proper intention for Yibum. Yavamo Yavala Mitzvah, right? So it's a mitzvah to do Yibum. Shemitchila Haisa Allah Bechal Heta. Originally, before the woman ever married the deceased, she was permitted to the Yavam because just like anyone else, she was permitted to any other man. Ratza L'Shem Noi Konsa, Ratza L'Shem Yishus Konsa. And if the man, who's now the Yavam, if the woman had never married his brother, so he could have married her for any reason, because she's beautiful, because he wanted to be married to her. There's no limitation, right? She was permitted. She was a penuya. She was single. But then Nesra, then she became prohibited because she married the Yavam's brother. And then Chazav Hutra, and then the Yavam's brother, her husband, dies. She's now permitted. Yachol Tachzor L'Heter HaRishon. So Abba Shaul says, we might have thought is that this woman reverts back to her original heter. The original heter is this man can marry her for any reason because she's beautiful, because he wants to be married to her. So no, Tamal Omer Yavama Yavaleha the mitzvah. So Abba Shaul understands that the words Yavama Yavaleha means that it's only for the purposes of mitzvah. And if he's not doing it with pure intentions, the kavanah of mitzvah, then better not to do it. And it's like being pogeya be'erva. And the child any child that would be produced from that relationship is karov to a mamzer. But Rava says no. Rava says that brisa could be understood afilu tim rabbanan. You can understand that brisa even according to rabbanan. Vachi kamar. How do you understand it? Yavama yavo aleha mitzvah. Right. The yavama yavo aleha is a mitzvah. And how do we understand what is it coming to tell us? Shemitchila ha'isa b'chal heter. Originally, before this woman married her first husband, who's now deceased, she was allowed to marry the brother. Ratza konsa, ratza ena konsa. If he wanted to, he could marry her. He didn't have to. If he didn't want to, he didn't have to marry her. Right? Nesra, then she marries his brother. And so therefore, he's not allowed to marry her now. But then Chazer v'Hutra, because her husband dies without children, and now there's a Zika with her brother-in-law. So at that point, Yachol Tachzor L'Heter HaRishon. We might have thought that she reverts back to her original permitted state, which was Ratza Konsa, Ratza Ena Konsa, which is that he has that the brother of the deceased, if he wants to, he can marry her. If he doesn't want to, he doesn't have to marry her, right? So Ratza Ena Konsa, and if he doesn't want to marry her, is that possible after the brother dies? Is it like before they were ever married? No, because there's a Zika, Hagida Bey. Right, she's tied to him. It's interesting that they use the language Agida Bey, right? The bottom of Lamed Tes Amud Beis, second line from the end. Agida Bey, we've been talking about Zika. She's tied to him in some way. So how can you say it's exactly the same as it was before she ever married the first brother? Bichdei Tebuk. Can she, right? Just like before she was ever married, the living brother now could have married her or couldn't have married her. If he didn't marry her, he didn't have to do anything. You can say that here. There's a Zika. There has to be resolved some way. The Yibum Mechalitza. Ella, let's reinterpret. Ella Ema, let's say instead, Ratza Konsa, Ratza Cholitza. Right? If you want, just like before, before she was ever married. This other brother could have married her, could have not married her. Now that she was widowed and the husband didn't have any children, the surviving brother, Ratza Kontza, he has a choice. He can either do Yivam or Chalitza. He has to do something. So Talmud Amar, Yavama Yava Aleha, and we might have thought that it's equally valid. He can do Chalitza, he can do Yivam. So we're told, Yavama Yava Aleha Mitzvah. It's a mitzvah. There's a preference to do Yivam over Chalitza, but the Rabbanon are not willing to say that if you have the wrong Kavana, that somehow that is problematic. No, even with the wrong Kavana, it's okay. Okay, last line on Lamentation Beis. Emoresha. What about the first part of the Braisa? Now, this is a comparable case, but has nothing to do with Yibum. So let's just reorient ourselves a little bit. Nothing to do with Yibum. Matzos Teachel B'makom Kadosh. The Torah says by a mincha offering. That was offered in the Beis HaMikdash, that it has to be matzos, and it has to be eaten by Makom Kadosh, that when the Kohanim eat it, it must be done in a holy place. So mitzvah. This teaches us that it is a mitzvah to eat those things. It's not just an option. There's a religious value of eating it. Shemitchila, Hayesal B'chal Heter. Originally, before the mincha was ever, because the way the mincha works is that a little bit is sprinkled, the kometz, a little bit of the flour is sprinkled, is taken off by the Kohen, and then afterwards the rest of the flour is turned into dough and it is eaten. Before any of it is offered as a korban, it was all permitted to the Kohen for consumption, and then once it was dedicated for a korban nesra, it was prohibited until the kometz was taken off, the chazar v'hutra, and once the kometz taken off, then the rest of it, the rest of the dough, the rest of the flour can be consumed. We might have thought that once it reverts back to being permissible, it goes back to the original permission, which was to use it in any way. Mitzvah, that it has to be done in a certain way. It has to be done, it has to be matzos. It can't be leaven. We're getting close to Pesach. But there's lots of matzah in the Beis HaMikdash. And Makom Kadosh, which were not requirements before it was offered as a korban mitzvah, that there is a mitzvah. Bishlam al Rava, this works according to Rava Damar, Hamani Rabbanani, who say that it's the Rabbanon, right? Because then, right, the Rabbanon are the ones who hold that Yibum is preferred. And then we can explain this second part about the matzos in the Karban Mincha, as well as Hacha Hachi Kamar, Matzos Teachel B'Makom Kadosh, right? Mitzvah, right? And how do we understand that's a mitzvah? What does that mean? Shevetzil Ha'isala B'Chal Heter. Originally, it was included as permitted to the Kohen. Ratza Ochla, Ratza Eino Ochla. Had he wanted to, the Kohen could have eaten it. Had he wanted, and if he didn't want to, he didn't have to eat it at all. Nesra, but then it becomes prohibited because it becomes a korban. And chazar v'hutra, once the kometz is taken, then it becomes permissible for the kohen to eat. At that point, yachol tachzul heter rishon. Maybe it goes back to the original heter, which was whether if he wanted to, he ate it. If he didn't want to, he didn't have to eat it. So ratz ochla, ratz eino ochla. Right. So ratz eino ochla. Are you going to say that after it becomes a korban, he doesn't have to eat it? V'aksiv achlo osam asher kupar bahem. That part of the process of atonement with the Karban Mincha is that the Kohanim eat it. So do you really have the discretion, the complete discretion that the Kohen has now that the Karban was identified, to not eat it just like it was before it was sanctified? No, what does it mean? Ratzahu Ochla, Ratzah Kohen Achar Ochla. No, it doesn't mean no Kohen would eat it. It means that if he wants, he can eat. We might have thought the Havamin is, he might, if he wants to, he can eat the matzos, or he can have a different Kohen eat the matzah. Tamal Omer matzos teachel b'makom kadosh mitzvah. That it's a mitzvah on the person, the Kohen, who brings the kometz on the mizbeach, that person also is the one that eats the matzos. Right? It's the same person, same Kohen. El Rav Yitzchak, so that works according to the Rabbanan. El Rav Yitzchak Bar Dimi, but according to Rav Yitzchak Bar Dimi, Tamar Abba Shohu, who says that the Brisa is not the Rabbanan, but rather Abba Shaul, who understands that it's not that Yibum is preferable, it's that Yibum has to be done with the right kavana, and if it's not done and not for any other reason, so how do we understand Hacha Mai Trei Gavni Hika? In our case, in the parallel case by the Matzos, what are the two ways of eating? In other words, L'Kavana and L'Shlo L'Kshim Kavana, how is that parallel to the second part of the Braisa? It doesn't seem to shtim, doesn't seem to work consistently through the second case of the Braisa, which is about the matzos that the Kohen is going to eat. Kli Tema, the Gemara is going to try. Kli Tema, right, we're on Mem Amud Aleph. We're about 12 lines from the top of Mem Amud Aleph. V'chi Tema, and if you'll say that Ratzo L'Teavon Ochla, Ratzo L'Achil Gas Ochla, right? Maybe the two types of eating, right, which is parallel to Kavana and Shlo L'Shem Kavana, right? What would that parallel be? What would the two types of eating be? If you eat when you're hungry, the Kohen would eat when it's hungry, versus when the Kohen would eat achila gasa. Achila gasa is if you're full already, right? Eating after you're full. Maybe those are the two types. So, and that, therefore, it could be parallel to the first part and it could be Abba Shaul. So achila gasa mishma achila. Achila gasa is not achila at all, right? Because Rish Lakish says, ha'okha achila gasa b'yom kippurim patur milo su'uneh. It's this crazy, I think it's difficult to understand, notion that if you consume so much on Yom Kippur that it's achila gasa, you have not violated the prohibition of not eating on Yom Kippur. Now again, it would only work at the beginning of Yom Kippur, because if you're hungry already and you start eating, the moment you start eating, it's not gluttonous. So that first kazayas or first kibetza, so you'd be violating eating on Yom Kippur. I believe it's erev Yom Kippur, you eat so much, you're stuffed, which is a very bad way to go into a fast, by the way, especially Yom Kippur, right? But and then right as Yom Kippur starts, as you're so full, you eat again. That would be an achila gasa, and according to Reish Lakish, that doesn't count as eating. Ella, so that can't be the two types of eating that would help us understand this part of the braisa as being abashol. Ella, ratza matza ochla, ratza chametz ochla. If he wanted originally before this became a karbon, if he wanted to, he could eat it as matza, he could eat it as chametz, and then it says matzos teachel makom kadosh, that it must be eaten as matzah. Right? Baksiv lo seyafeh chametz chalkam. Is it possible that that's really the havamina, that ratza it could be chametz, but it says it can't be chametz. Rabbi Shlashik afil chalkam lo seyafeh chametz, and that teaches that. That even the portion that's not komets, right? None of it can become chametz, right? So that's not a possibility. Ella, rather, ratza matza ochla, ratza chalut ochla, right? Either the havamina is it could have been eaten as matza or chalut. Chalut is bread, is dough that's boiled before it is baked. Right, that's chalut. Roasted, right? So that's high chalut hechidami. What is the quality of chalut? Imatzihi, if it's matzah, matzihi. It's matzah. Vilo matzihi. Matzah is omarachmana, right? So you know, chalut is either matzah or if it's not matzah. Why are we distinguishing? Well. No, chalut is matzah. Ulhachi tanabe kra la'akev. Right? And the reason why that it mentions matzos te'achel is to tell us it has to be regular matzah to the exclusion of chalut. Right? Because even though chalut could be considered matzah, it's not typical matzah, and therefore the dough, the flour of mincha cannot be transformed into that. Ela chalut matzahi de kamrinan. So if chalut is matzah, but it's just not matzah that can be, it just can't be used to make from the mincha. So in what ways is it matzah? Lomar shadam yatsi yidei ba yidei chavasa v'pesach. Right? To say that a person fulfilled his obligation of matzah pesach, afal pi dechalte mekara, even though his first boiled in hot water, the dough, came into harfa after matanor, since then you go again and bake it in the oven, lechem on ikrita bei, v'adam yotze bei dechavasa v'pesach. A little Pesach information for us. Chalut would be allowed. I don't know what chalut looks like. I don't know if anyone actually does that. I don't know if that's the custom, but how you know that technically chalut can be used for lechem ani. Okay, we're at the Mishnah on Mem Amud Aleph. Here we go. Achos levimto. A person does chalitza, right? How are you, kachem yinachim l'nachla? If he does chalitza, if a man does yibum, then he we have been assuming that he inherits that the deceased brother's estate. But if he does chalitza, he doesn't get it. If the father of these brothers, the deceased and the yavam, is still alive, nechasim shalav, then the deceased's estate goes to the father. Okay, fine, because he did chalitza. But Akone says yivimto, if he does yibum, zachem nechasim shalachiv. According to the Tanakhama, he gets the estate of the deceased, even if the father's still alive, right? But Rabbi Yehuda says, "Bein kach ubein kach im yishamav nechasim shalav." But interestingly enough, Rabbi Yehuda says, if the father of the deceased is still alive, then even when if the yavam does yibum, where he takes the place of the deceased brother, he doesn't get the estate because the estate already went to the father immediately upon the death of the husband slash brother. Okay, the Gemara, second to last thin line on Mem Amud Aleph. Pshita, isn't this obvious, right? That if a person does chalitza, that if you do chalitza, then that's not, then you don't get the estate of the deceased. I mean, I might have thought chalitza makom yibum kaima, that chalitza is just the other side of the coin of yibum. Mishkul kula nechse. Therefore, the brother can perform chalitza, should take the estate, kamash malon, only if you do yibum, not if you do chalitza. Yahachi, haryuka echad min ha'achim. So the Gemara has a problem with the language of the Mishnah. If that's what it's coming to teach us, haryuka echad min ha'achim, rather than say that he's like one of the achim, eino ela kecha min ha'achim, it should have said, he's only like one of the other brothers. Also, right? So it seems to the Havamina that the Gemara, the Mishnah is alluding to is a little different. Ela Salkadai Tachamina, I might have thought, ho the afsidam yibam liknese. Since he didn't do yibam, let us penalize him. Right? And maybe he doesn't get any of the estate at all. Right? Right? And not only because he didn't do Yibam, but if he didn't do Yibam and none of the other brothers could do Yibam once he did Chalitza. Right? So Kamash Malan, he gets as much as the other brothers. He's not penalized. He doesn't get more, but he doesn't get less. We might have thought he's penalized for doing Chalitza. The Mishnah went on to say, Im Yesh Av, second wide line, Mem Amud Aleph. Im Yesh Av, if there's a father, So then the entire estate goes to the estate of the deceased goes to the living father. The father gets inherits first before any other of his descendants. Okay, next, according to Zivimto, right? If you do Yibam, there's a machlokas, right? There's a machlokas whether the Yavam inherits the deceased brother or if the father still gets it all. My taima, what's the reason? Yakum al Shem Achiv Amar Achmana, right? Because it says that the Yavam gets the estate of the deceased brother. Vari Kam. And he did Yibam, so he should get the estate of the brother. But Rabbi Huda Amar, Rabbi Huda says, no, if there's a father still living, the estate, everything goes to the father. Amar Ula, Halach Rabbi Huda, Ula said, Halach Rabbi Huda. Okay, Amar Rabbi Yitzchak Nafka, Rabbi Huda said, Halach Rabbi Huda. that if there's a father that's still living, the deceased estate went entirely to him, to the living father, before the Yavam could even do Yuda. Why does Rabbi Yehuda say that the estate goes to the father? Because there's a pasuk over there by Yibam that talks about the Bechor. Kibachor, that the Yavam is like a Bechor. Ma Bechor ein lo b'chayav. Just like a Bechor, he gets two portions, but only if the father dies first. If the Bechor dies first, his children don't get anything, because the father inherits the son. If there's no children, right? The brothers wouldn't inherit, the father would. Afhai nami, ein lo b'chayav. So to hear, the Yavam doesn't get anything during the lifetime of the father. Therefore, he doesn't get dead brother's estate. If we're saying, that a Yavam is like a Bechor, right, that he doesn't inherit during the his brother during the lifetime of his father. So say also that he gets pishnayim. So me the yakum hashem aviv. See what pishnayim is from the father's estate. The yavam doesn't come to inherit special in the father's estate, only the brother's estate. Yakum hashem achiv. See, lo hashem aviv. That has nothing to do with the father's estate, only with the brother's estate. All right, let's just finish to the Mishnah. So let's say, let's regroup and suggest that if the father is no longer living, then there's Yibam, he'll inherit the deceased brother. This guy misses Yibam, then you'll do Yibam. But if the father is still alive, and the Yavam would not get any of the estate of the deceased, let's say that the mitzvah of Yibam is dependent on whether the father is still alive. If the father is still alive and the Yavam can't inherit the deceased brother, then there's no Yavam. If the father is dead and the deceased estate could go to the Yavam, then there's Yavam. That seems a little weird. Does the Torah, the fact that the Nachla, that the estate goes to the brother, that's the essential element of Yavam, or that's an outcome of Yavam? It seems to be an outcome of Yavam. Right? Rather, Yavam Yavmi, Yavam applies across the board. No, it's not a problem. If there's an estate to inherit, then the Yavam will inherit it. If there is no estate to inherit because the father is still alive, then sorry, Charlie, but there's still Yibam. Okay, now just to finish up, Yasi Rabbi Chanina Kara Kame de Rabbi Yana. Rabbi Chanina was a scribe and was sitting next in front of Yanai. V'yasiv Kamar, and said, Alach Rabbi Yehuda. The halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda, which is kind of strange, right? Because Rabbi Yehuda is a minority opinion, and the Rabbanan are the consensus of Allah. Rabbi Yehuda said to Rabbi Chanina, "Pokri kari chavara, go read that outside." Right? It's some sort of dismissive type of language. Ain't halacha Rabbi Yehuda. The halacha is not like Rabbi Yehuda. Tani Tani Kavei Rav Nachman's teacher. Learned before Rav Nachman, ain't Allah Rabbi Yehuda, the Allah is not like Rabbi Yehuda. Amar Lei El Kaman, Rav Nachman said, why are you teaching me, why are you telling me that the Allah is like Rabbi Yehuda? Elan, it's like the Rabbanon, pshit, it's obvious, Yachi Rav, Allah Rabbim. Why would you tell me the Allah is not like Rabbi Yehuda? Why would I think it's like Rabbi Yehuda? Rabbi Yehuda is a minority opinion. Amar Lei, so this person said to Rav Nachman, Ismai. So let me just erase this brisa. That ain't halach Rabbi Yehuda. Or lay low. So Rav Nachman said, no, don't do that. At halach asne. We can understand why you wrote ain't halach Rabbi Yehuda as follows, right? Because you had been taught a halacha, that the halacha was like Yehuda, umuk shehuda akshilach, and you found that difficult, right? That's the tradition in the Brisa, is that there was a tradition to say that the halacha was Rabbi Yehuda, and then there was backlash against that. There were questions asked, vafacht, and then ultimately you changed the Brisa statement, right? So the fact that it says ain halacha Rabbi Yehuda is code, is shorthand for the fact that there was this back and forth. There was a havamina to say it was Rabbi Yehuda, and then there was a question on why it should be Rabbi Yehuda, and then it was finally decided that it's not Rabbi Yehuda. So the Brisa recorded it as ain halacha Rabbi Yehuda. Well, my da'apach, Shapi Apach. Right? And you were correct in the chain of the Brisa is correct. Either he wrote it or whoever he quoted it from was correct in reversing himself. And the halacha is not like Rabbi Huda, but rather the halacha is like the Rabbanon. The halacha is like the Rabbanon. That the father doesn't always inherit. If there's evil. Okay. All right, we are up to the Mishnah. Good place to stop. A little less than usual. But it's a good stopping place. Mem Amud Aleph, very, very bottom. We'll pick up again next time. Have a great day.